Well, it's a joy to be here. I sat in church for 26 years thinking that I was a Christian because I went to church. And I went to church with my parents, and they didn't just send us, they took us. But we never really heard how to apply the Word of God to our own life until I was 26. And at that time, my wife just gave birth to our second child. And we had kind of gotten discouraged with churches, and so we had stopped going. And but my parents were going to come down and see this new baby, and I knew that they would want to go to church, and I didn't want them to think that I was a heathen. And so I decided I was going to take them to this church our neighbor had invited us to. Well, I was a heathen, but I didn't know it. And when I got there at this church, we heard the Word of God proclaimed in all of its truth. And I was just moved by it. I didn't get saved that first week. But the very next day, the pastor and his wife and another lady came to our home. I was at work, but they came and shared the gospel with Lois. And she received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Well, she didn't tell me about it because she wasn't quite sure. Didn't have the confidence in it as yet. But a couple weeks later, I went forward in a church service, and the pastor said to me, "Oh, this is so good, especially after your wife just getting saved." Well, I didn't know that, but I praise the Lord that there are churches that preach the Word of God, and that we can hear that Word of God and apply it to our life. And our lives were changed dramatically since that time. We learned to serve the Lord by going out with others in the church, sharing the gospel, visiting in homes, and sharing the truth of the Word of God. And that was just a life change for us as we came to see God work in different people's lives. Well, it's a... Today and tonight, I would like to look at a topic entitled "What's in a Name." We here in the Western world, when we think of names, where do you come up with a list that you're thinking of to name your son or your daughter? Sometimes we do it because it's a name that we like. Name that we hear, and that sounds like a good name. And so we use that name. Well, I was always glad that my name was Daniel, mainly because that was my dad's name. And so I was named after my dad. And we named our son Daniel as well, because I wanted a son named after me. He dropped the ball. He didn't. There's no fourth, I'm so glad that my son and his wife, they have three daughters, so they just didn't carry on that name Daniel, but I'm glad for that name, and found out later that it is a Bible name as well. As we think of our text today, I want us to see God's name. And how that in the Eastern culture, the name was very significant. And many of those young men that were born were named for their relationship with God. And they had, for example, the name that we want to look at today is Elohim. Elohim, and Elohim is a compound name for God. The first part of that name, Elohim, means the strong one. God is the strong one. We're going to see that throughout this beginning in Genesis as we look at the creation, how that God created, and he could do this because of who he was, because he was the strong one. He had the power to create simply by speaking things into existence. And then we're going to look at the second part of his name as well, and how that second part of his name, Elohim, is the word Allah, or it's usually given in the plural, like we have in our text today. And it reveals that God is not only the strong one, but he is the one who makes promises. And because he is the strong one, he can keep those promises. Folks, we heard, I don't know if you even thought of it as you listened to the special music today, as you sang these hymns today, we saw several promises given to us, and God keeps those promises, and he can keep those promises because of who he is. He pledges himself to keep those promises. Well, I'd like us to see the power of God this morning as we think of creation. As we look at this world that God has created, now we just take it for granted. We see it every day, and I still get excited when I see the mountains, when I see rivers, and as I once in a while go fishing and see just the beautiful landscape that God has given us. I remember when I was upstate Pennsylvania, another man and myself would go visiting together. And I was new in that area, and we come across a view, and I said, oh, isn't that beautiful? Well, he kind of looked at me as I was strange. He had seen it every day of his life, probably. But God has created a beautiful world, and he is the strong one that could just speak it into existence, and it is a wonderful world. Think about this world in which we live. Just think about the solar system, our particular solar system. It is so large, and yet we just see a portion of it, and we don't realize what a magnificent job God did in creating this world. Now, if you were to build a scale model of our solar system, and you were to put the sun in that scale model, you would have put it 6 inches away from Earth. Thankfully, it's not that close, or we would be burned up by now. But if it was in this scale model, it was put 6 inches away from Earth, that represents 900 million miles. 900 million miles. And if we put in that scale model as well, all the planets like Neptune and Venus and Saturn and Jupiter and Mars, and used to include Pluto. They don't call it like the other ones today, but God created it. God put it in the heavens. And if you look at this scale model, to keep Neptune in that same scale, it would have to be 15 feet away from the sun. 15 feet, or 15, in other words, 30 times 90 million miles. Well, if we were to put the closest star into that scale model, it would have to be 26 miles away. And just think, God spoke all of this in existence. He created it out of nothing. He spoke the word, and as we saw in Genesis, it came into being because God spoke it into existence. You know, it's almost impossible for us to understand or grasp the significance of the largeness, the vastness of the universe. But if we were able to send a space shuttle into space, and it could travel at 40,000 miles an hour, it would take 15 years to make the trip from Earth to the nearest planet, Neptune, and back. 15 years. That's why we don't hear of these space pilots volunteering to go to Neptune. It would just take too long. Science tells us that light travels at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. Every once in a while, you hear of someone saying, well, you know, we're seeing a new star. No, it's not a new star. It just means that it took that long for the light of that star to reach our atmosphere where man begins to see it. Perhaps you're like me, it's pretty hard to comprehend the power of Elohim. He spoke, and it was all created. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, we see Elohim speaking again. As he creates the grass and as he created the trees, and we look at them, and sometimes we complain in the summertime because, oh, it's time to cut the grass again. But you look at that, this creation that God made, and what a wonderful creation. And we see the grass. We don't realize how it's put together so that it remains green, how that it grows. But did you know that every blade of grass and every leaf contains these little mouths, all these tiny little mouths called stomata? Science would tell us that. I'm not a scientist, but these stomata, or these tiny mouths, they're so small that you cannot see them with the naked eye. But I understand that there's about 100 that could fit on the head of a pin. So that's how small it is. But besides each one of these little tiny mouths, there's a guard cell that helps that mouth to open up and to take in the carbon dioxide. And that's controlled by the atmosphere around it. And it could take in these carbon dioxide and using the nutrients that come up through the soil into the roots. And through the process of photosynthesis, it produces the green that we see in our grass. Well, you know, I thought about that stomata, all those little mouths, and perhaps, you know, we think, well, you know, if I don't cut the grass, I mean, I hate to go out and cut off all these little mouths, but no, they're going to come back, folks. That's no excuse. We need to get out there and cut the grass on a regular basis. And Genesis chapter 1 speaks again of the creative power of God as he created all the animals of the world. And we could look at some of the great big animals that God created, but I was reading in a book by Dr. William Allen Dean, I was reading about a wasp that he said was, most of us aren't too excited about wasps, but he mentioned this wasp that when she gets ready to lay her eggs, she looks at a neighboring tree and she sees a caterpillar there. And down the length of the body of the caterpillar, there are 9 places, microscopic places, where there's a nerve center. And she would go to that caterpillar and she would thrust in her lance 9 times down the length of that caterpillar. And so the caterpillar no longer would have feeling. It could not move, and yet it was still alive. And she would drag that caterpillar down into her nest, down in the ground, and she would lay her eggs on the tail of that caterpillar. Not on the head, but on the tail. If she laid the eggs on the head of the caterpillar, when the offspring, the little wasps were born, they would begin to eat, and that after one day, that caterpillar would die. But because she placed it on the tail, the caterpillar is still alive, and those baby wasps can get that nourishment through all that time. Folks, I'm saying that to say this. Who taught that wasp how to sting the caterpillar? Where to sting? Who taught that wasp where to lay her eggs? Well, Elohim created all of creation. What a marvelous thing that God had done. as he created, as he creates this world. So far, we've spoken of the visible world. Well, what about the power of God to create that which is invisible? You know, have you ever seen an atom? I suppose when we were in high school, I'm not sure I can remember that far back, but we did look through microscopes at different things, and I'm sure we must have looked at atoms, but we can't see them with the naked eye, certainly. But as God created everything, they're made up of all these different atoms that would be put together in a fashion as God planned it. But I understand that when we think about an ounce of uranium, I understand that there is 1 sextillion atoms in that 1 ounce of uranium. Now, if you're like me, you think, what does that mean? 1 sextillion. Well, if you could pack those in, those atoms into that 1 ounce of uranium, and you could do it, putting them in at 1 million a second, it would take you over 31 billion years to do it. Talk about job security. But folks, God did it. God did it by speaking the word. And all of creation has the atoms necessary for each form to come together. This first part of the name Elohim then speaks of the power, this one, the power of God who could speak the world into existence. But the main part of the message that I really want to share is this second part, because it's this God, this powerful God, this strong God who has given us promises as well. And you've heard some of those promises as we sang today, as we heard the special music today. We sang of those promises. And Elohim, he made promises. I'd like us to look at one of the promises he made in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. And verse 3. Here, God is making a promise to Abram. Later, he will be called Abraham. But in verse 1, we read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." What a tremendous promise that God made to this man, Abram. And yet at that time, Abram was 75 years old, and yet at that time, Abram had no children. How is God going to keep that promise to Abram? How is he going to be able to bless the world through the descendants of Abram? 76 years old, still no children. Have you ever considered the lengths to which God went just to fulfill that promise that he made to Abram? And we read about it throughout Scripture. We said that Abraham was 75 years old when he received this promise. And almost 24 years went by when God came to him again and made that same promise to him, that in him should all the earth be blessed. And the Bible says that Abram was now 99 years old. Genesis 17, verse 1. "And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." And in verse 3, he goes on, he says, "And God talked with him. I am Elohim." This, it's Elohim that's talking to him. We see Elohim in scriptures written with a capital G and a lowercase O-D. And he speaks to him, I am the one who keeps his promises. We read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, my friends, God is the strong one. We can trust in him because he is the God of creation. He is the God that can make everything from nothing. And when Abraham was 100 years old, he and his wife Sarah, she was 90 years old, Isaac was born. You say, that's impossible. At 100 years old, having a son born and his wife 90 years old? Well, what's impossible with man is not impossible with God, because God is Elohim. God is the strong one. We read that when God told Abraham later to sacrifice his son, Abraham was willing to do it. Why? Because God had given him a promise that in this descendant, in this son Isaac, God was going to bless the world. And so Abraham knew that if he took his life, God would bring him back to life because of the promise that God had made. Abram believed God. By faith, he accepted the truth of God's word. He did not doubt because Elohim had given him a promise. Well, the promise that God would make of Abraham a great nation and bless all the world through his seed was passed on through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Time will not allow us to really to examine all of the details of that, but I'd like us just to think about some of the highlights of how God kept that promise through many, many generations. In fact, 42 generations later, God fulfilled that promise in the birth of his son. But there were many things that happened during that time that we in our human thinking would think, well, you know, that's going to just destroy this promise of God. How's he going to be able to keep that promise? Well, he's Elohim. He's the strong one. We read about Jacob as he's down with his father-in-law. Well, what was going to be his father-in-law, Laban. And he wants to marry Rachel, and then we see his father-in-law tricking him. You know, I'm so glad that when we get married today, we have veils that you can see through. You know, he got tricked because he couldn't see through the veil, and when he woke up in the morning, it wasn't Rachel that he was married to. But, you know, that didn't thwart the plan of God. Through one of Leah's sons, we read, God was going to bless the world through one of her sons. And that was going to, he was going to come into the world and through the descendant of one of her sons. We read the Old Testament records the history of Israel through times of the kings, through the times of the prophets, through the times where they were deported to Babylon and other countries. And yet God kept his promise through all of those generations. There was going to be 42 generations that would come before the Christ would be born. But God never wavered from his promise. When God makes a promise, God keeps the promise. And so after 42 generations, God sent forth his son to be born of a virgin. You say, that's impossible. Yes, with man, that is impossible. But who made the promise? Elohim, the all-powerful God, the strong one. He made the promise, and God would keep that promise. Oh, we in our days, we think because God kept that promise, We can sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ was born. What we're trying to say this morning is that the God of creation is the same God who has made multitudes of promises to you and I. The scriptures are filled with his promise. I think of the great promise in John 3:16 that we know and we quote so many times. Just say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you think about that word, whosoever? What a tremendous word. What did God mean by that? Exactly what he said. There are some that would preach today that that atonement was limited to a few, that God selected some for salvation and others to go to hell. That's not what my Bible tells us. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am so glad that it's recorded that way, because whosoever includes me and includes you. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you have the gift of eternal life. Have you taken him up on that promise? Oh, there's multitudes of people today that maybe have heard that promise and, well, someday I'll do it. Someday I'm going to receive the Lord as Savior, and they put it off and put it off and put it off until it's too late. I know a lot of Christians that are walking around living defeated lives today simply because they're not claiming the promises of God and applying those promises to their own life. And we read in John chapter 10, verse 27, beginning in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them." What do I give unto them? Eternal life. "And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." God has given us a promise. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't depend upon ourselves being able to keep our salvation. We're saved and kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. All we can simply do is put our trust in him. Elohim, the one God eternally existing in three persons. Who could possibly pluck us out of his hand? No one. No one can, because of who God is. Folks, I hope that you take time to claim the promises of God from Scripture. We mentioned this one in relationship to salvation. But God has given us promises in many areas of our lives. How about the promises in relating to prayer? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, he said, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now, as we know that as we examine Scripture, that we're also to ask according to his will. We're to ask in faith. But God has given us promises concerning prayer. First John chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we have the petitions that we desire of him." I see many Christians dredge up the old sins that they've committed, and they've asked God's forgiveness, but somehow they haven't realized that God has forgiven. How many times do you have to ask for forgiveness for one sin? Well, what does God say that he'll do when we confess our sins? He says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, folks, that verse from 1 John 1:9, I'm afraid I have to go to that verse many, many times. And sometimes we get embarrassed and we think, you know, I've confessed the sin of whatever it may be. I lost my temper. And then we think, I'll never do that again. Well, what happens? Somebody cuts you off on the road. And what do you do? Well, hopefully if you mumble, it's pretty low so no one can hear. But sometimes we have to go to God and ask him to forgive us for something that we've already confessed or we've committed it again. But God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friends, don't live a defeated life simply because you're not trusting God to forgive you for your sins. If we ask him, he will do. You know, God promises to give us guidance for our life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What's he say next? And he shall direct thy path. My friends, God has given us tremendous promises through his word. It's Elohim that's made those promises, the strong one, the one who is able to keep those promises because of who he is. I would encourage you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to go through the Word of God and look to those promises of his Word and claim those promises. Remember a number of years ago, as we were students in school, my parents wrote to us and were telling us about my sister who happened to be living in California at that time. And my parents were telling, you know, they wanted to go and visit her. But I was in Bible college. They probably wouldn't have ever thought that I would have money to help them. But we somehow, I'm not even sure where it came from at that time, we had enough money to help them to go to California. But I began to pray, and Lord, is this what you want me to do with that money? You know, because I knew there would be school bills coming up in the future. And I began reading. I was reading through Proverbs. I was reading one of those Proverbs a day. And one of the Proverbs I read, he that stoppeth his ears to the cries of the poor shall himself cry out and not be heard. And I thought of that promise, or while it was a kind of a negative promise at that time, but I thought, you know, he that stoppeth his ears at the cries of the poor. Well, my parents were poor at that time. There was nothing they could do about it. We sent them the money for them to travel out to California to be with my sister. About a year later, I think, I was reading through Proverbs again, and we were facing some trials ourselves, financial issues. And I came across that verse, and I was able to bring that verse before my Heavenly Father. God, remember when you spoke through that verse to me. I was not closing my ears to the cries of the poor, but now it's me that's crying out. He heard my cry. He met our need. We were able to pay that bill. It was probably a school bill at the time. And I just put right beside that verse in the scripture, big red P, so that I would see it again the next time I read through that. God had proven this promise to me. I would encourage you, look for promises of the Word of God and apply them to your life. If you're here today, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you're missing the greatest promise that God has given, the promise of eternal life through him. If you're here today and you're not spending time on a daily basis, spending time with the Lord in prayer, you're missing some promises. God promises to meet our needs. If you're here as a Christian and you're not spending time in the Word of God, you're missing out on these truths, the promises of the Word of God. If you're a Christian and not applying or not looking for God to give you guidance in your life, you know, we don't have all the answers for life ourselves. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We can claim those promises. I encourage you to do that. Let's bow our heads and our hearts in a word of prayer. The promises of God, the promises of Elohim, the strong one, the one who pledges himself and is able to keep those promises because of who he is. Are you claiming those? I would encourage you to do that. If you're here today and have never received Christ as personal Savior, I invite you to come. Talk to one of us and we'd be glad to show you from the Word of God how to be saved and how to know that you have eternal life. If you're a Christian struggling with different areas of your life, get in the Word of God. Claim his promises. Our Heavenly Father, you know the needs of each and every one here. I thank you that you are the strong one. You're Elohim. You've made us promises. Oh, Lord, help us to live those promises in our life, that we might live a victorious Christian life, that others might see Christ in us and be able to glorify our Heavenly Father because of what they see through us. Lord, I thank you that you haven't left us here on this earth just to struggle through life by ourselves, but you have promised that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, help us to claim your promises, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.